Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
This week, a guy who is like my size. I love it here.
Hello, people. We've officially reached the unrealistic portion of this podcast, the episode where officially no one can buy that this guy would be the world champion.
You know what? You can achieve your dreams, and I think he could do it. We're talking about Rockstar Spud, a.k.a. Drake Maverick, a.k.a. James Curtin. This is his real name. That's the a.k.a. there.
A.k.a. the guy with the really attractive wife that everyone is wondering how the hell he did that.
Because Drake Maverick seems like a funny and charming guy, okay?
No. Good. You know, it's good for him.
He pulls. Great. He pulls.
That guy fucks.
So, yeah, we're talking about Rockstar Spud. We're talking about Drake Maverick. A very interesting career, like a lot of time on the indies where it's hard to find footage. So we found some stuff from his time in the British Independents.
And I'll tell you right now, from beginning to end, it covers roughly like 10 years. A guy whose age I could not guess if you paid me $1 million to guess correctly.
Well, I don't have $1 million for you, but what do you think his age is?
Probably like, if I had to guess now, I'd say like 35.
He's 39.
Jesus.
Yeah, Drake Maverick is 39. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Looks great. Looks great.
Oh, fucking, he looks amazing for a man that age.
He does. Let's do all our housekeeping stuff. Then we'll talk about Vince McMahon because we haven't yet. Then we'll jump into the Rockstar Spud episode.
No. Then we have a very important announcement that we're going to give you guys at the beginning this time.
Yeah, we're doing the fun announcements at the beginning this time. Okay, so housekeeping stuff. Follow us on Twitter, at Crossbody Works, most important place to follow us. Follow us and make sure you go to the Full Press Shop, fullpressshop.com, buy the merch, support the boys. Next week is a big day for this podcast.
It's a big day for more than just this podcast.
It's a big day for us, okay? Next weekend is my bachelor party. And Javier is coming to Canada. It's the sequel to Coming to America that we needed. It's Javier coming to Canada.
Wouldn't it be the third film? Since
I forgot that they already did do a sequel. Yeah, I forgot
that
they
did. I didn't watch it. It's on Amazon.
Neither did I. Coming to America, the first one, is legit amazing.
Oh, it's a masterpiece.
It's so good. Anyways, Javier's coming to Canada, so he's going to be staying with me as before my bachelor party, and that means that we are going to be recording live for the first time in the same place.
Yes, we're doing a live pod. As Evan announced last week, it's the beginning of Haas month, and we've got a special treat for the people.
We have been talking about this man to the point where like when we first were making merch, the idea of making a shirt of just him was tossed around.
It was more than tossed around. It was seriously explored.
It was seriously explored. We are going to kick off Haas Month with King Mabel.
Oh, baby.
The goat Haas, in the minds of the two of us, at least.
The Haases of all Haas. This is the end-all, be-all of all Haases.
You may know him as Viscera. You may know him as just Mabel, but he's Big Daddy King Mabel to us. Big Daddy V, the just the giant love machine that he was.
Oh yeah, what a gimmick.
We are going to be doing a live, we're going to try to stream it on Twitch. We're going to try to do a Twitch stream. We'll put all the stuff on Twitter. We're going to do it, and it's going to be live on Thursday. I want to make sure that I get the dates right, but it'll be the Thursday, the first Thursday of August. So that's the 4th.
Oh man.
And we'll put on a time, we'll do all that. We're going to try to do a live stream, our first live podcast. First time the boys are meeting in person. That's exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. We get to really see the height difference between me and Evan.
Oh, son of a bitch. I'm going to get my tallest of shoes. But I see these things all the time. I'm sure it's a targeted ad. There are these things you can put in your shoes that give you like a couple extra inches.
Jesus Christ.
And it's like impress ladies on dates. And I'm like, yo, if you really impress her and you take her home and all of a sudden you shrink 3 inches when you take your shoes off, oh, that's going to be a problem.
if you have an issue with your height, we don't like go finding a solution to get taller. Go find a therapist.
You know what it is? Just you got to be funny. You got to be funny. It just makes things so much easier. If you make the jokes about your height first, they're not going to make them, you know? Anywho, live episode on Twitch. It'll be Thursday, August 4th, sometime in the evening. We're going to record it. So if you want to hear the Mabel episode a couple days early, tune in live on Twitch. We'll be happy to see you. Maybe we'll even do like a little Q&A to kind of get warmed up, you know?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? You know, anything is possible.
Yes, just like Kevin Garnett said, anything is possible. Okay, the other thing we need to talk about.
The real anything is possible.
Vince McMahon retired. And holy I use the word retired incredibly loosely.
Forced out.
You ever had a friend be dumped and they're like, no, it was mutual. And you're like, no, it wasn't. It really wasn't.
We know the full story.
Do you have any hope that things are going to be different?
I do, only because I know now who's in charge.
Yes.
It's Triple H is in charge of creative. I believe Nick Khan and Stephanie are going to be in charge of the whole, like,
the actual corporate business
side. Yeah, the corporate side of things. But no, Triple H being in charge of creative is huge. We saw what he did with NXT. Do I think there's going to be a significant change early on? No, because I do think there's still a plan that's set. And I do think they kind of still need a few pieces back before they're able to really kickstart it. But I'm really excited to see what things are going to look like after SummerSlam. I think people had a lot of high expectations going into this past week's Raw. And well, as of recording this, SmackDown hasn't happened yet, but SmackDown from last night, I guess, if you're listening to it on Saturday. Because, you know, there's obviously a new creative regime, but it's leading right into a pay-per-view. So, like,
and not just any pay-per-view, like, it's SummerSlam. Like, it's leading right into SummerSlam. Like, the timing is really weird. And the weird thing is, like, WWE, as much as I'm sure we'd like, honestly, I'd love an off season for WWE. Let people rest, like have like an end of season, give them a month or two off, come back.
It's not even just that. Let the creative team have some time to fucking think.
Yeah, like it's one of the advantages that was weird about Lucha Underground is that they had seasons and you came back and it was a new season. You were ready. Anywho, WWE is an ongoing, constant narrative that is constantly happening. And I am excited for the future because there have been reports that like Vince would forget that he's done storylines already, forget that he's done bits already, forget things that happened in kayfabe. And like, that's part of getting older. Like, I'm not going to hold that against him. But at the same time, having people who are more present with the product that's happening right now will be great. I also think the Triple H we've seen in NXT is a little bit more tuned into what fans are looking for in a wrestling product right now. So I am optimistic. I am optimistic that will lead to changes. But
yeah,
I think people need to make sure that they don't go overboard in that if their favorite wrestler loses, being like, well, Triple H is burying them. Because wrestling fans are nothing if not overreactionary.
Hell yeah.
So like, let them figure it out, okay? I'm sure we're going to get, you know, some, like Carmelo Hayes is going to come up and win the U.S. title, okay? Like, it's going to happen. Just give it some time. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what's honestly. I'm going to give this regime all the way. Like, if for me, the fresh start isn't even going to happen until like post WrestleMania. Like, after WrestleMania is when I'm willing to really like. If things aren't different after that, that's when it's going to be like, okay.
The first thing for me is who wins the Rumble.
I think we all know who's going to win the Rumble.
Who's going to win the Rumble, Javier?
It's fucking Cody. We all know Cody's winning the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's as obvious.
It's gonna be good, though.
Healthy, he's winning that. Even if he's also, not healthy.
Is it a better booked Rumble than the clusterfuck we saw last year?
As long as Bad Bunny's in it, I don't really care anymore.
Bad Bunny versus Brock Lesnar is a fee. I thought I had was like a fever dream. I was like, am I on drugs? This is crazy.
The thing is, you just know he wants that match, Bad Bunny. You just know Benito wants that fucking match.
Also, after SummerSlam, we can officially do a Pat McAfee episode. He will have had 5 matches.
Lord, we're I'm still going to give so it some
excited.
Time.
I'm
we're
so excited. I'm still going to
give it some time. We're not doing a Pat McAfee episode right away.
Damn it. Okay, speaking of the episodes, let's talk about Drake Maverick Rockstar Spud. We're going to go back and forth calling them both because, like, as much as I know him best as Drake Maverick, I feel like you probably know him first as Rockstar Spud.
I know him best as Spud. Yeah. It was always weird calling him Drake Maverick because, like, no, it's Rockstar Spud.
Yeah. Do you know what he's doing now?
No fucking idea. I know he's not with EC3.
According to Wikipedia, he is a writer for Raw.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. Actually having wrestlers who are good at talking be writers is a great idea.
And a creative dude. Like, we'll get to it a little after. But, like, Rockstar Spud is a very, very creative individual.
And Spud was a standout on the British independent scene for years. He started wrestling in the independents in 2001. Started wrestling with this one particular company, Frontier Wrestling Alliance, in 2004, and had a big feud with a guy named Johnny Storm, not from the Fantastic Four.
That's my first note, was Spud versus Human Torch?
It's pretty dope. Our first match was against Johnny Storm, FWA New Frontiers 2011. This is an independent of all independent matches.
Hell yeah, dude. This is in, like, a fucking Costco.
It is clearly in some sort of shopping center where it's like a covered plaza. And you can go into different stores. So there's what looks like an IKEA next door.
Like, I'm not even joking. This is legit. Like, it literally looks like a Costco.
Johnny Storm. Let's talk about him for a brief second. He's got some funky music. He's called the Wonder Kid. He's got a hat on backwards, so you know he's cool. I say that, as you can't see this, dear listeners, but I also have my hat on backwards right now. Because I'm cool.
Meanwhile, my girlfriend inspired me to do something different with my hair, so...
This I was going to say, it looks different. It's got more volume.
It's not just the volume. The volume is mostly because I woke up about an hour before recording this, but it's just parted to the side.
You look like you have a very good TikTok account. You look like you do dances in like Wendy's parking lots.
With my shirt off?
No, just in like in the tank. Just in the tank top, just out there.
Jesus
Christ. Giving 50% on your TikTok dances. Yeah.
And somehow getting millions of views, making a shit ton of money.
I don't understand the economy. anywho, Rockstar Spud comes out with a security guard, all leather, and a wallet chain. I love it.
Who the fuck is this woman?
They don't give her a name. I don't know. I tried to look it up.
That is a strong woman.
She could kill anybody. Also, Rockstar Spud's entrance music is Living on a Prayer, but it's a karaoke version because there's still the backing vocals. It's not an instrumental. It's clearly a karaoke version from YouTube, which is awesome.
Which some would say, some would be me, is even better.
It is, because randomly just hear, Living on a Prayer. It's great. It's fantastic.
Before the match starts, Johnny Storm hops on the mic and says something. And at this point, my audio stopped working for some apparent reason. So, Evan, tell me what he said.
We're going to have ourselves good old-fashioned fisticuffs. And I wish I was me. I made it up. But it was aggressively British. I loved it.
You guys couldn't see it, but Evan could. As I threw it to him, I started to take a sip of my water. And when he said fisticuffs, I immediately almost spit all of it out.
This season of Peaky Blinders looks crazy.
Going on a call.
It was supposed to be for the flyweight championship belt, but then they determined that it wasn't going to be because Bud wants a fight instead. And then we get to the actual, and I'm going to use the term match loosely, Spud sent to the outside, nasty looking crossbody by Storm, who is in a like shocker inspired purple and yellow intense singlet.
Jesus Christ. The ring is miniature, by the way. Even like Spud is a small dude and he looks big in this ring.
Yeah. Spud's 5'4" for reference.
Yeah. So, you know, small.
Small.
And it's not what you want to see. It just isn't. But yeah, like you said,
Spud gets dropped onto a metal guardrail. Storm runs him into the guardrail in front of a very excited child, a child who was very happy to see somebody get beaten up.
And through this mayhem, my audio cut back on, and a little after that, I hear a Fernando Torres at Chelsea reference from commentary, and I'm like, what is happening? So you don't know this, but this match takes place in 2011. Fernando Torres would have just signed with Chelsea. Mm-hmm. At this point, he's probably the best striker in the world, depending on what position you consider Messi and Ronaldo to be.
Fair.
And yeah, he's absolutely incredible. He signs with Chelsea, who's they play in London. They're pretty famous. They're always pretty good.
They're pretty good.
And let's just say Fernando Torres went from being probably the best striker in the world with Liverpool to not very good with Chelsea.
Just not very good.
Let's just say his career just falls off a cliff.
I'm so glad you brought up soccer. Okay, so Spud gets the advantage, tosses him in the corner, chokes him in the corner, and then gets a yellow card.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, not this bullshit again.
Technically, both men get yellow cards, and I am lost. They have a card system, but the card system here is you get a yellow and then a red, and then you're out. Whereas in soccer, two yellows or a yellow and a red or just a red and you're out.
Yeah. Two yellows so, is a red, so you're exactly. out.
Yeah, which you know, really fucks you up with color theory, because yellow plus yellow does not make red.
And as, Jesus Christ. And as soon as there is a red, you're done. Just right after that, we get a side Russian leg sweep by Spud, and he just starts complaining, obviously, about the yellow card that he just received. Storm's beating Spud's ass on the timekeeper table, which is funny, because he doesn't try to put him through the table. He just lightly places him on the table and just starts hitting him.
This is where I realized that this crowd is clearly just trying to do their Sunday shopping.
No one here bought tickets.
They, except for that kid who was excited to see him get beaten up. Like, they are maybe the least engaged crowd I've ever seen.
No, they're still better than Corpus Christi.
Oh, yeah, Corpus Christi. Yeah.
Corpus is Christi, baby.
Spud pulls Storm into the ring post, gets some free space. He's strutting leg drop onto Storm onto the apron. I like that. And then Spud with some right hands. And then he gets a red card. And I was like, oh, okay. Is it over? No.
For punching? He got a red card for punching.
Yeah, don't punch. Body slam by Storm. Middle rope moonsault by Johnny Storm. I was like, okay.
A little bit before that, he had a C4.
Yeah, he did. I was like, he's got some moves in his bag.
Yeah, they go to the outside. Storm whips Spud into the guardrail, and then on the second attempt at whipping him, Spud manages to reverse it and whip Storm into the referee, which I don't even know what the point of that was, because it led to nothing. the ref taking a bump there.
Yeah, they wrestle around the people. They get Spud gets back by dropped over the crowd barrier. They wrestle around the people. The bell rings. People are booing. They didn't even pay for this, and they're booing.
They're at the emergency exit of the Costco. Storm, at one point here, grabs one of those plastic trash bins that you see next to the sample carts at Costco that they let you throw stuff away at. He grabs it and just chucks it right at Spud, who sells it like he's been run over by a car. That thing probably weighs like 2 pounds.
They brawl in the parking lot. They come back to the ring. Spud gets on top, and then they get broken up by officials. Technically, it's a no contest. This was just a good peek in independent wrestling. I was like, this is as independent as it gets. This right here.
Yeah.
Let's do some more independent wrestling. Southside Wrestling Entertainment, April 22nd, 2012. It is the first round matchup of the Speed King Tournament.
Holy shit.
And it is Rockstar Spud versus a guy we know, Noam Dar.
Alicia Fox.
Other people who were in this 2012 tournament, Pac, Eligero, Martin Kirby, Marty Skrull. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. They've run, I think, 4 Speed King tournaments. I looked at some other names that were in it before. Pete Dunne was in it before. Like a lot of notable British wrestling names in this tournament. So like that's good for Southside.
Future WrestleMania main eventer, Pete Dunne.
Butch. Rockstar Spud has the lyrics version this time of Living on a Prayer. It's called Growth and is called by the announcer the Baby Jesus of pro wrestling.
Speaking of Baby Jesus, holy shit. Noam Dar looks like the 6th member of One Direction.
He really does.
Homie, you could replace him with Louis Tomlinson and it would be the exact same thing.
I was going to say, like, he looks like he should. He's like Louis' body double.
It's absolutely insane. It's a baby, you light up my world like nobody.
And like I said, this is the semifinal. The way that the tournament worked was there were 6 semifinal matches, and then it was a 6-man elimination match for the finals. That's how the Speed King tournament worked. If you're curious, What'd you think of the match?
I thought it was solid. I mean, another match.
Good.
It's a weird setup for the building because the building space, like the space that they're in, is massive.
But it's clearly like, some giant convention center.
Yeah.
That usually, I'm sure it has those like divider walls you could use for certain things, but none of them are up. It's just the whole thing.
Yeah. And there's like not that many people there. There's probably like, if I had to guess, there's like 40 people in that crowd, maybe 50.
But like a very engaged crowd. They're there for the show. And when Spud's doing his entrance, he does tell someone to sit down, you twats. And I was like, this is great. Also, Spud's entrance, I clocked it. 3 minutes and 12 seconds.
Yeah, I skipped it. You clocked it. I skipped it. So as soon as the match starts, before the match even starts, actually, Noam swim moves the referee and attacks Spud.
Yeah, you're looking like TJ Watt out there.
My brother in Christ is out here trying to get the sacks record for this season.
We get a back elbow. We get an airplane spin on Spud, who's asking to be put down. That's one thing Spud does as a heel really well, is just be annoying.
He's so fucking annoying as a heel.
It's
great.
It's so good.
Noam does a back body drop on the ringside, right onto the concrete, because best believe ain't no mats down
there
on the floor.
No mats in the budget.
Yeah, it's like a smooth concrete, admittedly. But it's still concrete. I mean, it's just not as like, hey, I feel like if you fall on that as compared to like falling on like a sidewalk, there's like a noticeable difference. Maybe you won't scuff your knee up, you know?
I still think, well, it's okay. It's smooth. You know, it's got no edges. It's still concrete. Damn.
Yeah. I mean, it still hurts like a motherfucker, but at least you won't scrape your knee.
Back in the ring, Spud begs off and then pounces on Dar. We get some trades and some shots. Then we get a rude awakening. The little hip swivel neck breaker by Spud. That's a great move for his character.
Yeah, I mean, it's a move that, you know who should have used it instead of the zigzag? Dolph Ziggler.
He's done it before.
He probably has done it, but it's not something that he does.
And maybe I'm being Mandela effect here, but I guarantee I've seen Ziggler use the rude awakening before.
Give it to Austin Theory. Give it to us. That's all I have to say.
I think my favorite moment in wrestling the last like month and a half was when one of the Usos just slapped Theory outside the back of the head.
Dude, I hate his finisher. The ATL or whatever the fuck. It used to be a TKO, but now it's like a... He does it. It's like a TKO, but like into his knee. It looks terrible. It doesn't look like it hurts. It's going to get changed in like a day. So why aren't we like changing it now?
I know Theory is here to stay, right?
I think he's very good as a heel. I will say. I think he's really, really good at being annoying. It's like Sammy Guevara. He's really good at being annoying.
Yeah, he's a Sammy Guevara variant. But I think he's almost perfect for like the modern heel. Like he looks like somebody you want to punch that you'd see walking on the street. Like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, there's just something about his matches, and I've only seen a couple because, like I've said before, I've kind of fallen out of watching WWE consistently. I just there's like a gear missing. I don't know if he's just not being allowed to.
No, he's good. I think he's really, really good in the ring.
Maybe I'm just getting the wrong matches.
I think the issue is the way he's booked more than anything. They're trying to make him the shit, you know, running swarmy heel. It's
because it's the only way they know how to book.
2014.
The only way they know how to book heels. If you're small, you avoid everything. If you're big, you're a monster. Like, those are the only two archetypes that WWE knew for a long time.
I mean, admittedly, there's not that many other ways to book people.
Yeah, you're right. Anyways. Dar gets dropkicked in the corner. Running knee by Spud. Another dropkick, 2 count. Dar gets a little bit of momentum. Huge clothesline, which is funny. Good for Louis. Good clothesline by Louis.
Jesus Christ. There's the big clothesline off the ropes, right? That's the one where he like does like a pounce.
Yeah, he really does. Marcus Corvon, baby.
Jesus Christ. They're fighting. They start fighting ringside, a little bit back in the ring. Spud crotches himself on the post because he's on ringside. He's got Noam up in the post area, and then he goes for running boots to try to like, you know, fuck him up. And Noam gets out of the way, so Spud crotches himself. I'm surprised he could reach that high, if I'm being honest.
He does like a little skip.
The length is definitely in his top region, not his bottom.
Yeah.
and Noam does a drop kick. So his leg is caught there. Noam does a drop kick to the knee because Noam Amdar likes to work the knee. Gets him back in the ring. He hits a power bomb and then gets his gets Spud's foot on the bottom rope. Goes up to the top rope and does a double foot stomp right to the knee.
Yeah, like a coup de grace to the knee.
Yee.
Spud keeps messing up the apron as a way to delay the count and distract the ref. The ref has to fix the apron the second time, and we get a low blow by Spud, only gets a two count, and then we get right into the finish.
Yeah, so the finish is essentially just Dar hits a dragon screw, throws on this net leg lock slash knee bar, or whatever the hell you want to call it. After a few seconds, Spud just has to give up because he's nowhere to go, so
nowhere to go. Wins the match. Noam Dar does not win the 2012 Speed King tournament.
Well, yeah, because he's 5 years old at the time.
Just it's a wrestling toddler. Who let
Noam
this
Dar was like 22 during the Cruiserweight Classic that he was in, or whatever the fuck. Because like, I can't even imagine how old he is in this match.
Yeah,
Noam Dar's probably like 30 right now.
That's true. He was probably like really, really young.
He's probably like 28 or 9 at this point.
I would look it up, but it's not going fast enough.
You know, I'll do it for you, Evan. Tell people what happens next. Actually, no, we're going on to commercial, aren't we?
Yeah, but I'm going to tell people that Marty Scurll, who we don't talk about, was the one who won the Speed King title that year. The other first round matchups, Chris Travis beat Pac.
Ooh, I love Chris Travis. R.I.P.
El Ligero beat Martin Kirby. I don't know Robbie X, but he was beaten by Marty Scurll. So
speaking of Noam Dar, I got to hear first than you did. Noam Dar's birthday is today.
Hey!
Recording, happy July 28th.
Noam Dar.
It hasn't been updated, but he's turning 29 years old today.
He was 19 in this match.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're looking at Rockstar Spud in TNA. Back from the break, and Spud would join TNA after winning the first season of TNA British Boot Camp. What the hell is British Boot Camp?
I'll be honest with you. By this point, I was out. I assume it's like the mix. I assume it's like what they did to like incorporate a lot of the UK talent. Maybe, I don't know, Magnus might have come through that shit. I don't know.
So
something like that.
The first British Boot Camp, there were only four contestants. It was the Blossom twins, or I guess that they weren't twins, but Blossom sisters, Hannah Blossom and Holly Blossom, Marty Scurll and Rockstar Spud, and Spud won. Then they did a season two where they had like a finals, and it had like every British wrestler you could think of. In the finals, there was Dave Mastiff, El Ligero, Grado. There was Chris Travis, Mark Andrews, Martin Stone, Noam Dar, Rampage Brown, Shaw Samuels, Kaylee Ray, Nikki Storm, Viper. Like, they had everybody.
I know every single one of those people.
They had everybody. And that's only like half the people. And then it was won by Mark Andrews. Good for him.
It should have been Chris Travis.
Should have been Noam Dar.
Anyways.
Spud would join TNA. He would go to their developmental territory, which I believe at this point was OVW. He would properly re-debut in November 2014 as part of Dixie Carter's stable. He was the chief of staff for Dixie Carter, which meant he was BFFs with Ethan Carter III.
They had the best, like, shtick going for, like, a year. It was like the best thing. It was super fucking entertaining. I would only watch TNA / Impact Wrestling on and off at this point because obviously I came back to wrestling in 2014 towards the end. But you know, I remember TNA obviously from my previous fandom, and I went back in to see, you know, what was up. So I like looked, you know, EC3 was there. I was like, oh my god, Dixie Carter as a kid. Or a nephew, holy shit. And, you know, I thought EC3 was actually really fun. And just they kept showing all the stuff with Spud. And a lot of it was obviously comedy and had comedic undertones. But holy fuck, it was just so entertaining. His whole shtick, like wearing the fucking bow tie. I thought everything about Rockstar Spud was great.
The fucking bow tie is impeccable. He has the little like clear strap, so it has not, you don't see it anywhere, and he's a little bow tie like a little Chippendales dancer. It's amazing. It's so good. So he was part of this stable with EC3. And then EC3 would berate him near the end and then turn on him, expelling him from the group, leading to this blow off of their feud in a hair versus hair match, March 13th, 2015, obviously versus EC3, from the Wembley Arena in the UK. Spud has the Feast or Fired briefcase. Explain briefly, what is Feast or Fired?
Feast or Fired is this thing that they have. So it's, I believe there's four of them.
Four cases, yeah.
Yeah, one is like you get to challenge for the X Division title. One is you get a world title shot. I don't remember what the third one is.
I think it's a tag title is the other one.
So, yeah, tag title. And then the fourth one is you're fired.
It's high risk, high reward.
Yeah.
Spud had won the one for the X Division title. So he was going to challenge for the X Division title. He'd actually win it next week.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for Spud. He's out here looking full on British. He's got the UK zip on. He sings God Save the Queen when he gets to the ring, and everyone in the UK is joining with him. He is over as hell right here, right now.
I mean, it's his people. It was the perfect mixture for him to be as over as he was. And it also helps that EC3 is just such a despicable heel at this point.
EC3's douchey turnaround smirk thing during his entrance is one of my favorite entrance things going right now.
I'm going to level with you. I have no idea how that guy didn't make it in WWE. I have zero idea. He's just perfect for WWE.
He just didn't use him.
They called him up and told him not to talk, which is what he's best at.
So the crowd is with Spud 100%. Spud starts hot. Chases EC3 to the outside, chops at ringside, bites the face of EC3 while he's on the barber chair, drop kicks him. Also, do you think companies just have a barber chair just nearby? Like WWE has, I feel like always has the exact same barber chair.
Vince McMahon 100% gets a haircut before every show.
Yeah, I mean, they actually bring in, like, there's barbers that they bring in different areas to, like, do certain haircuts for the boys.
Yeah. Just, I mean, it's the same as their makeup crew. They got a makeup tee. Why can't they have a barber or like a salon or like a hairstylist or whatever?
I think this is the best match out of all of them. What do you think?
I'm going to agree with you. This is the most entertaining for me by far.
Yeah.
This is the one that I have like a shit ton of. I have like a page and a half worth of notes on my notes app.
Yeah. EC3 hits a boot to the face to get some space. Spud gets some shots in, but EC3 with a crazy good discus lariat.
Hell yeah, space. Dude. By the way, this is on Destination America, LOLTNA.
yeah.
And then right after that discus lariat, we get a commercial break. Again, LOLTNA.
Yep. Back from the commercial, EC3 is firmly in control. We also learned from commentary he is undefeated in Impact so far.
Yeah, still, he has not been defeated.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. It's going to be even more crazy when you find out who he loses to for the first time.
Oh my God, I'm not ready. Wait, tell me now. I want to know now.
It's Kurt.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. Ref is distracted. I thought you were going to say it was like Jeff Jarrett.
That would have been fucking great. But no, I'm pretty sure Jeff Jarrett's out of the company at this point.
Ref is distracted and Tyrus is here. You know him. He's the Funkasaurus.
Fun fact. So at the next NWA event, it was supposed to be
Nick Aldis
against Trevor Murdoch for the rematch, essentially, for the NWA championship. Nick Aldis has had some problems. It's led to he's been a bitch. it's the best way to put it. He's been an absolute bitch about his standing with the company, all this other stuff, blah, 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 the respect he's getting, whatever. I hate when people do that. It's like, homie, you were champion for like forever.
Yeah.
Who cares? And so who have they replaced him with for the main event for the next pay-per-view? Tyrus.
Somebody call my mama.
Current TV champion, I believe.
Oh. They're not on TV.
Yeah, well.
Slides Spud to the outside, power bombs him. Spud kicks out. EC3 is shooketh. And then out comes Mr. Anderson. And he hits a mic check on Tyrus. That's good.
I love a good mic check. EC, by the way, he just gets absolutely bitched out. EC3 just comes from behind, hits him with his forearm, and then he's done. Yeah, we'd never see Mr. Anderson
Anderson, EC3 again. has a brace on his arm, and he clocks Anderson with it. Clocks Spud. By the way,
this is a bulky ass brace. This is like I just tore my ACL and now I need to have like the bulkiest knee brace. He's got one of the motherfuckers been on his elbow.
You Bucky Barnes looking motherfucker. Winter Soldier ass.
Smash a Stan ass bitch.
Spud is bloody. We get a stinger splash by EC3, which I was like, why? Why use a stinger?
He mocks Sting. He does the woo beforehand.
Spud looks like he's out cold. Then we get a really interesting wrinkle. He gets tossed out to ringside at Jeremy Borash, who is like Spud's best friend, apparently.
Yeah, he's like, at this point, he's like the head. If he's not one of the heads of TNA, he's at least like the main production guy there.
And I saw it and I was like, wow, Jeremy Borash looks so different because he beat Spud to the punch. He's already got his head shaved. And then I learned it's because he saved Spud from getting his head shaved before and got his head shaved by EC3 and Tyrus.
Yeah, which is why he doesn't have very much hair. JB follows EC3 back into the ring, hits a low blow, and then Spud follows that up and hits a stunner, does the boot and everything, hits a stunner for a near fall.
I popped so hard.
I thought that was going to be it. I was like, what?
The screen starts going black and white, and commentary says because of the graphic nature of what you're watching.
Which, okay, is ridiculous because it only goes black and white for like a second every like 10 seconds because they're always so late with it and they get rid of it too early. So you mostly just see the blood anyways.
It's a weird decision. Also, especially because I'm sure this is pre-taped and not live. So like, how did you not edit it better? Anyways, EC3 just ramming Spud's face into the mat.
He does a TKO at one point here. He keeps doing that. He goes right back to the ramming. And then he starts going for slaps and punches. And Spud does a hawk up.
He does. He gets a little bit of juice.
He does the shaking. He starts pumping his arms. And then he just goes, he points red at EC3 and goes, "You!" And then he just explodes with running forearms. He hits a shining wizard. He grabs his junk. He grabs EC3's junk and then hits a Pele kick.
We get an underdog attempt. EC3 clotheslines him. Spud kicks out again. EC3 goes for I assume it's his finisher. I don't know what EC3's finisher is.
So it's the one percenter, but it's the other one. It's the
other one percenter?
So the one percenter in WWE was the TKO.
Mm-hmm.
But in Impact, it was this, which is that, like, it's Dean Ambrose's first version of Dirty Deeds. It's that weird, like, bulldog, like, DDT, I guess is what it's kind of called.
And that's enough to defeat Spud.
Yeah, it's his finishing move, so I should hope so. And then right so after
when he's
the match...
been, when he's been whooped this long...
Right after the match, EC3, you could tell he's looking real like sympathetic. He like kind of feels bad about what he's just done. He grabs a mic and he tells everyone that Spud has the most heart and determination he's ever seen in pro wrestling. Tells him that he proved that he belongs in Impact. He says that he could one day be world champion, and he offers him a handshake.
Spud shakes his hand.
Spud shakes his hand very gingerly, very cautiously. Yeah. EC3 lifts his hand up in the air to get a nice little pop from the crowd.
He's not going to shave his head.
So he's not going to shave his head. And then he sits on the middle rope to hold it open for Spud. And then, Evan, let the people know what happens next.
Just kidding. He beats the shit out of Spud. And he runs around yelling, "Not! Time to pay, Spud! Time to pay!"
Then he puts him in a tree of woe, grabs the shears, gets on the mic and asks where his family is. Yeah. You know, starts asking, where's his mom? Where's his sister? And then he grabs the shears, starts cutting Spud's hair, and tells people to take notice.
EC3 is a bastard.
EC3 is an absolute piece of shit heel.
Let's move on. EC3 is going to remain here, but let's move on. Our next match is against Kurt Angle, and it is at Destination X, and it is for the world title, the TNA world title. Spud invoked Option C, which is when you are the X Division champion, vacating the title for a shot at the world title. Yeah, betting on yourself.
Austin Aries won the title way back when.
Angle also defends against Austin Aries, or the winner of this match, defending against Austin Aries later that night as well. So there's
Austin
two
Aries,
title matches.
The briefcase, the Feast or Famine briefcase. You got the one.
EC3, though, is here for a sit-in. Because he's the number one contender, and he should get these title matches instead of these bitches.
He goes, there's two world title or championship matches. I'm the number one contender, and I'm not in either fucking one of them.
Christy Hemme is the ring announcer, and when he comes in the ring, Christy, respectfully leave, respectfully leave, respectfully leave. It's like, sir, calm down.
He says he's sitting down and he's not moving, and dares someone to come stop him.
Olympic hero time. It's Kurt Angle.
Yeah, out comes Kurt. He tells EC3 to shut up and stop being a whiny bitch.
EC3's reaction to the word bitch is one. EC3 is like one of my favorite wrestlers, so at least this era, EC3 is so good.
Yeah,
and I've only seen these things. Great. Just bitch, whiny bitch. Like, I love him. His reactions are perfect.
He's so good. Honestly, yeah, I mean, he has his baby face turn a little later on when Matt Hardy's doing the big money match shtick. And then EC3 beats him, which obviously eventually leads to the deletion.
Deletion.
All that stuff, which is honestly my second favorite era of TNA, is this whole period right here. This EC3 heel run into his babyface turn with the big money Matt stuff, into the final deletion, all that stuff. It's just good shit.
Then we actually get the match, because he does kind of like run EC3 off and Drake Maverick comes out and we get our match. What did you think of the match?
I thought it was solid. It's not good when 6 foot, at this point, probably like 5'10", Kurt Angle is like towering over you. It's just not a good look.
It's a hard believability thing. But at the same time, Spud makes it look good by running around so well.
Yeah, I mean, look, he at the beginning of the match, Kurt starts grinding down Spud, you know, just holds all this other stuff because he's
front
got the strength
face
and size.
For a long time, yeah.
He's got the strength and size advantage. At one point here, Spud trips Kurt, hits him with a drop kick, then hits like a Total World head scissors. That looks really, really good. For a guy who really doesn't look that athletic, Rockstar Spud's able to hit some pretty cool looking
moves. And as the years go on, his bag increases. Like, he's always adding stuff to the bag.
Yeah, Spud tries diving off the apron. I don't know what the fuck he was going for here, but Kurt
it was
catching
nothing.
Yeah, Kurt just catches him and hits a release belly to belly suplex on the outside. Was it a belly to belly or German?
It was an overhead belly to belly.
Yeah, right there on the ringside, which looked like it sucked. But he's also Kurt's able to like just launch this guy because he's so small.
He could do the full flip.
Yeah. Back in the ring, Kurt hits a suplex for a near fall, and then I have to mute the match because Josh fucking Matthews is insufferable.
Go off on Josh Matthews.
His voice is fucking annoying. He contributes absolutely nothing to the matches. He is just talking to hear himself talk. He's just chatting shit. Literal. Like, this is not like he's just shit talking. He is actually just, everything that comes out of his mouth is shit. I hate him.
I love that. I remember was it a rumor or was it true that they deepened his voice on commentary?
I think it was true because his voice is light as fuck.
Because Josh Matthews would normally talk up here and then all of a sudden on commentary he was kind of down here and it's like, that's not how you sound.
I hate that, man. Anyways, Kurt hits a backbreaker.
Yep.
He's just
fucking stalking Spud.
Yeah, Spud turns an angle slam attempt into an arm drag and then follows that up with an enziguri. He drop kicks Kurt off the apron, then quickly runs up to the top rope and hits a swanton to the outside.
He lands directly ass on Kurt's one trap muscle. Just lands directly on the broken freaking neck of an Olympic hero.
He's trying to end his fucking career.
Yeah. I'm trying to kill this man.
I'm trying to get a world. Spud's like, I'm trying to get mines.
And then Angle meets Spud on the top rope because Spud went back up to the top, belly to belly from the top rope for a two. We get some weird like running elbow / forearms by Spud, which is interesting.
Yeah, he escapes an angle slam again and then just keeps doing that.
Yeah.
He goes for a drop kick. Kurt catches it. You think he'd go for an ankle lock, but no, he just turns it into an ankle slam.
Yeah.
For a near fall, Kurt runs himself into the corner, so he like posts himself, and Spud hits the underdog, which is like the best way I could describe it is it's like the like a sliced bread or like the old what was Spike Dudley's finisher called?
Dudley Dog.
Yeah,
it's the same move.
Yeah, except he turns this one into a cutter instead of a bulldog.
Yeah.
For a near fall.
Yeah, and then Angle kicks out two. Ankle lock, grapevine, Spud's shot at a world title is done.
Yeah, and then Austin Aries appears out of nowhere, and he's like, the COVID vaccine is bullshit.
Jesus Christ.
You now people are fat.
Now we're going to get flagged because of that banana man. It just, ugh. I hate Austin Aries. All right.
Flagged for Austin Aries. We were flagged for Josh Matthews well before this. It's fine.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're looking at Rockstar Spud when he's Drake Maverick. Back from the break, Spud was released from TNA in 2017 because they were going to cut his pay because they were changing his role. I think he's become a ring announcer, I think. So they're like, yeah, we're going to change your pay. And he's like, no, thanks. He joined WWE as the commissioner of 205 Live in January 2018. He was a heel manager for the Authors of Pain on the main roster while being a face commissioner on 205 Live. That was a weird time.
Remember when he was the manager for Authors of Pain?
Yeah, that's what I just said. It's fucking weird.
Remember when he was the manager for Authors of Pain?
Yeah.
Remember the Authors of Pain?
Yes. And then he pissed his pants because of the Big Show.
That has got to be Authors of Pain. I don't understand why they didn't work on the main roster, but holy shit, did they not work on the main roster?
Because they were cool in NXT. They were good presentation.
Isn't that they cool? They were just like they were a team that you saw in NXT, and you were like, all right, these guys are definitely going to be better on the main roster.
There's always a need for just like a beef team.
It's like the Viking Raiders now. The Vikings Raiders now are looking really good on SmackDown. They're heels. Really, they're destroying the New Day and all these other people that they put in their way. They are like possessed.
Then, after pissing his pants, Drake Maverick would join what I consider to be the first and only great 24/7 championship feud. And that's what we're talking about right now. It's Drake Maverick and R-Truth trading the 24/7 championship. We're talking wedding. We're talking honeymoon.
And we're talking consummation.
So this is not his real wedding. Surprise.
No, you don't say.
But it is his real wife, Renee Michelle, that Drake Maverick is getting married to.
Who, we just need to mention, is an absolutely stunning woman.
Drake Maverick has lived an ideal life.
Like, just an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous woman.
The man has wrestled around the world. He's had memorable moments. He's been liked, well-liked everywhere he's gone by all accounts. And then he has a stunning wife. And now he works as a writer for WWE. This man is living the ideal life.
Yeah, he got his dream. His dream was to be in WWE. He managed to pull that one off. And then he's
raising the bar for short kings everywhere. Well done.
Whether it's in the ring, whether it's at home, I don't even know. This man is winning in all aspects.
Put him on the Short King Mount Rushmore. It's him, it's Kendrick Lamar,
it's Rey Mysterio,
and it's Isaiah Thomas. That's the Mount Rushmore.
Well,
just that one year of Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, but everything since
has been not good. So in the crowd at the wedding, Matt Hardy and the whole Hardy clan, King Max, is there.
His best man is EC3.
Let bygones be bygones. Remember that time I shaved your head?
And absolutely rocked your shit?
They're walking down the aisle, Drake and Renee, and Maverick sees a referee, R-Truth with the roll-up. R-Truth, who is in a blazer with no shirt but still has a tie. He's in his Avril Lavigne era.
By the way, Maverick is getting married and he has the title on.
Yes. Why wouldn't you?
Renee's in a gorgeous red dress.
Yeah, it looks great.
The budget was there. There was no expense spared by WWE on this one.
So the next week, obviously, Truth is the 24/7 champion. Renee goes to freshen up as her and Drake are heading to their honeymoon. And the entire lower
card...
They're
like backstage.
Yeah, they're backstage. Renee leaves. The entire lower card comes running by. And I note that the first person who runs by is EC3. And as he's running by, he yells, "Congratulations." Just like, that's such a stupid little thing, but I love it.
And it's like a bunch of, it's like a horde of people. I think Jinder Mahal is there.
Cedric Alexander is there. Jinder's there. Yeah.
It's a who's who of not people that you want to remember.
It answers the question. What? Truth emerges from behind a wall. And Maverick just says, like, I just want to go on my honeymoon. Like, I don't want to deal with this. I just want to go on my honeymoon. What does he do instead?
He grabs his suitcase, he fucking levels R-Truth, and he pins him to win his title. Then he tells his wife, sorry, but they get to do their honeymoon 24-7.
Drake Maverick launching the suitcase at Truth is right up there with the Bray Wyatt John Cena throwing the stairs from the ring to the outside, and he fucking connects.
No, it's up there with the little like mustard slash like popcorn cart from the Harlem Heat episode.
Oh my god, I thought you were going to talk about wacky Dean Ambrose for a second, but no, this is
also
good.
That.
Then we're at the honeymoon, and for some reason, fortuitously, Drake Maverick has decided to go on honeymoon right near where Raw is taking place
at a luxury hotel, baby.
He has them registered under the name Mr. and Mrs. 24/7 Champion.
Which he thinks is safer than Mr. and Mrs. Maverick.
Yeah. Which it's not.
Also, beauty aside, Renee's dress is fantastic.
She is extremely well dressed.
It is a great looking dress.
Maverick pays cash, and then we see Truth lurking behind the corner behind this the guy at the front desk.
Homie stuffs the cash in his pockets.
Truth comes up. Excuse me, my dear man. He's looking for Hornswoggle.
It's Hornsquoggle.
Short guy, funny accent.
He offers the guy $1. The dude just takes it and goes, whatever, I would have just given it to you for free. Spud is, they cut back to the hotel room. Spud is butt-ass naked with only the title on.
And he's saying he's ready to go now.
Yeah, putting a whole new meaning to what the fuck was the dude? Braxton whatever?
What?
Who's his name? What was the guy who used to be the commissioner of Raw? Braxton? What was his name?
Braxton?
The dude who dated Paige. Unfortunately did the tapes with her.
Brad Maddox.
Brad Maddox. I combined his names.
Braxton. I'm like, Tony Braxton?
Yeah, he's unfortunately Drake here is taking one out of Brad Maddox's playbook.
Jesus Christ. I just room service is here.
With the champagne that they ordered, Spud is heated because he's unfortunately rocking a stiffy. And the whole point of the whole story is that they haven't consummated their wedding because he can't get it up because he's so stressed out about the title defending.
He's stressed out about a title that doesn't matter.
Yeah, he goes, time's wasting. This room service guy, Spud recognizes it's a ref. He starts checking everywhere. But I say everywhere, he's realistic. He looks under the bed, and he's just checking under the covers, and it's like, there is clearly not a person there. And he's doing it for a comedically long time, because R-Truth is taking fucking forever to get in a position.
But you can see Truth. You can see him poking his little head out of the cart, being like, what's going on? What's happening?
And then we get a near fall. He rolls up Drake for a near fall. Spud throws flowers at him. Truth then hits a crossbody onto the bed and pins him to win. The entire time, Renee is just screaming her head off. Spud goes to chase after him because it was revealed that all he had he basically had the smallest tan skin color, nude, whatever you want to call it, Speedo on underneath the title.
Truth also says, I hope y'all aren't consummating no mo. This was the peak of the 24/7 title.
Yeah, this was it. This
Truth,
is the only time
Maverick
good.
And Carmella were the three pillars.
Yeah,
of the 24/7 title.
We've got the three pillars of New Japan, the three pillars of the 24/7 title.
Let's move to our last match. It is the NXT Interim Cruiserweight Championship match from June 3rd, 2020 versus El Hijo del Fantasma, who is better known now as Santos Escobar. Now, April 2020, Drake was announced on April 12th, 2020 as part of the Interim NXT Cruiserweight title tournament because they had to have the interim title because of COVID restrictions. Jordan Devlin was stuck in the UK.
Yeah.
On April 15th, 3 days after he was announced for the tournament, Maverick was released from his WWE contract as part of budget cuts because of the pandemic. Despite this, they still asked him to participate in the tournament, and it then became a storyline. What do you think of using this as a storyline in WWE?
I thought it was kind of fucked up, but at the same time...
I agree!
But at the same time, you also, like, he agreed to it. Like, they're not running the storyline. He's gone. He could just walk out and be like, this isn't happening. But he obviously agreed to it because he thought maybe it would be a decent idea. So he just kept it going. So, like, I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's pretty fucked up. But if the talent agrees to do it, then, like, yes, I could think it's fucked up. But, like, to a certain extent, it's okay because they have the talent's blessing.
Yeah, and I understand it where it's like, saying no to something that's pitched to you is hard when you are at fear of losing your job, whereas he's already lost it.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have, like, what are you going to do, fire me? Yeah, but at the same time, I think it's just super gutty. And, like, as we know now, like, WWE put in fucking massive profits during this time and still cut a ton of talented people who I think would be so benefited if they were in Triple H's WWE, and now they're not there. I hope, if you could bring somebody back to be in Triple H's WWE, who do you want?
I think Keith Lee would have had a run and a half, but obviously, like, we can't say anyone that went to AEW because, as Tony Khan swarmly said yesterday, I believe it was yesterday or 2 days ago, Adam Cole and Malakai Black are under contract until 2027. So yeah, those guys ain't coming back. I assume same with Keith Lee. I have no idea. This is the real answer. I don't know who is where, so I have no idea.
Johnny Gargano? Maybe.
Johnny Gargano is probably the best bet because he's still a free agent. But, yeah. I mean, I don't
Bray
know.
Bray Wyatt?
Sure. Man, I don't know. I guess it'd be the guys who are still free agents. So those two are guys who are working lower indies. But anyone that went to AEW or, like, ROH, I guess, at this point, which is basically just Cesaro, they're under lock and key for many years.
So looking at the actual match, what did you think of – do you remember this tournament at all? Like, what did you think of the match?
I don't remember who the fuck was in it. I just remember who won and that Drake Maverick was in it.
I don't remember the exact tournament, but I remember that it was like a mini G1 style, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, I remember I think Joaquin Wild was in it, Raul Mendoza, Del Toro.
No, those guys weren't in it. So the brackets were Group A was Maverick, Kushida, Jake Atlas, and Tony Nese.
Holy fuck.
And Group B was El Hijo del Fantasma, Akira Tozawa, Isaiah Swerve Scott, and Jack Gallagher.
Well,
yeah. So, like, a lot
of these things is not like the other. One of these things is that piece of shit, Jack Gallagher.
That's right. What'd you think of the match?
I thought it was solid. It's just kind of there, you know. I don't know. I don't think these two really had the chemistry that I would have wanted for it to. Because on paper, I mean, you see Spud just improves every single match that we see. And from what I remember, I thought he had a pretty decent showing in the tournament. Obviously, I didn't remember who the fuck was in it, but. You know, seeing as he probably faced off against Kushida at one point here, I could assume it was pretty decent.
Yeah.
And obviously Santos Escobar, Hijo del Fantasma, you know, whatever you know, King, forget the hell his name is in Lucha Underground, King something.
Was he King Cuerno?
King Cuerno. He's very, very good. Yeah. So, like, you know, you would think this was a good mix here, but honestly, I don't know. This match just kind of felt flat for me. It was solid. I don't think it was anything bad, but I just don't think it was anything very
good. I think it's carried by the emotional weight of the storyline.
It also doesn't help that it's in the Performance Center.
Performance Center, like April to July, is the weirdest flashback of all time to watch this stuff back.
I just honestly, all the way up until like, because it wasn't until like July of last year that they started going on the road again, right? They yeah. had WrestleMania in Tampa outside, and then they just kind of just like fucking dealt with it for like a month and a half, and then they were like, okay, we're back.
We're done with the Thunder, but this is like pre-Thunderdome where they just had like Rick Boogs and Omos out there just cheering people on. It's really weird.
Just wasn't good. This was a big moment for Spud. I remember that. The COVID cuts were brutal. Yeah, I don't remember how, like, they cut like half the fucking roster.
They cut so many people.
Do you remember that day? Just like the amount of like notifications we were getting from people being cut. It was absolutely insane.
Sean Ross Sapp was working overtime that day.
Yeah, him, Brian Alvarez, all these guys were fucking getting like swamped. I was really happy when I'm just going to call him Santos because he was Hijo de Fantasma for literally this tournament. Santos Escobar, he was so fucking good as King Cuerno in Lucha Underground. And I remember he was like kind of like getting blocked from being able to go to WWE for like years. And then he finally signs and I'm like, let's go. And I think he's had a good run. I'm really excited to see what he does next. I think he could be really, really good on the main roster because he's everything they want. I think he is everything they wanted Andrade to be. He can actually speak English very, very well.
Two things. One, this clip that we have is entirely in Spanish.
I could understand it.
Yeah, you were doing great. I was picking up words. I was like, cool. Two, the list of people who were that first list of cuts, April 15th, 2020. Here's a list of people who were cut that day. Rusev, Drake Maverick, Zack Ryder, Kurt Hawkins, Anderson and Gallows, Slater, Eric Young, Rowan, Sarah Logan, No Way Jose, Maria and Mike Kanellis, EC3, Leo Rush, Primo and Epico. Kurt Angle as a retired wrestler and producer, Aiden English and Mike Chioda. That was the April 15th.
Shit.
Yeah. And then Drake Maverick cut that promo on Twitter about like how he felt after his release. Yeah, and
crying,
then basically, yeah, it was a really good promo. I consider putting it as the promo this week, but I needed to do the 24/7 stuff.
Yeah, that just had to be in there. Honestly, I mean, I wouldn't even say it's a promo as much as it's just like a cathartic release of emotion for him.
Just catharted all over the place. early handshake and roll up by Fantasma. Who I think I'm just going to call Escobar because it's just what
his name is. Yeah, I just called him Santos for everything. I mean, he was literally Hijo de Fantasma for this tournament. And then literally his next appearance, he takes off the mask and he's like, I'm Santos Escobar.
I remember being so confused. I was like, oh, well, Hijo de Fantasma, that's a really cool name. And like, I like the mask and everything. And then it's like, oh, he's tired of it. Okay. All right.
He did not want the mask anymore. He unmasked himself, which in lucha culture is insane.
An insane concept, yeah. Maverick with the head scissors sent Fantasma to the outside. On the outside, he dodges a powerbomb by landing on the apron. You get a senton off the apron. Drake looking good.
Yeah. Back from commercials, and Santos has advantage. He hits an atomic drop. Spud does a corner drop kick. He tries to go for a splash or something, but he gets caught and put into a Boston crab. Yeah. Santos starts talking shit. And then we get an absolutely devastating looking sit out powerbomb for a near fall.
It's a thing we talked about a couple weeks ago. No sit out powerbomb looks bad. Yeah, every sit out powerbomb looks fucking incredible.
It looks great every single time. Santos can't believe it. Because obviously Santos is pissed. He starts hitting forearms on the small of Spud's back.
Yeah.
Spud explodes with like punches. He finds a little bit of fire. He hits an extra as hell bulldog.
Yeah, the wheelbarrow bulldog.
Yeah. Top rope elbow drop for a near fall.
An elbow drop that lands directly across the throat of Escobar.
Yeah, yeah. Santos hits a jawbreaker and then I just have to say, it's an ugly looking spine buster.
It's not great.
It's not great. What you want. Not what you want. They trade headbutts on the top ropes until it's one too many and both men start just crumble to each side of the post.
And then the mysterious luchadors are here who had been kidnapping people.
Ooh.
Remember that's how that started, was they kept kidnapping people.
The NXT parking lot is the most dangerous place in America.
It is the most dangerous. Like, they need America's Most Wanted just for that.
It started with Hideo Itami, a.k.a. Kenta, a.k.a. future G1 winner, and it's just ending with, you know, fuck, what happened? The most recent one was, like, Roxanne Perez.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
She got absolutely decked. No one knew who it was, and then it was Cora Jade.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, two Max Men comes out. Spud hits a dive and fights them off. Spud slides back into the ring, eats a super kick, followed by a phantom driver from Santos. 1, 2, 3. Hijo del Fantasma is the new cruiserweight champion.
Maverick gets the send-off post-match as he goes up the ramp. Triple H is here. Papa H, he gives him a contract. He signs on the dotted line. He sticks around for a little bit longer.
Yeah, he sticks around for I believe it was a little less than a year. He has that team with Big Damo. He does a bunch of random stuff. He really does end up becoming like a comedy character down at NXT again, which is a good thing because it's what he's best at, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's really funny.
But my big disappointment is that I didn't get the finger point.
You wanted more finger points?
So, speaking of the finger point, it's actually a perfect segue. I'm like really backed up on a lot of like older podcasts, especially in wrestling, like Renee Young's podcast.
Yeah.
I listened to the episode that had Johnny Gargano, which is from like January or February. So it was just after he wrapped up with WWE, and he was just talking about, a lot of it was him talking about the birth of his son and you know, doing the whole like new parent thing. And he goes, he remembers that he was on, he was talking with Triple H, and he goes, "The only thing that I need from you when you first meet Quill," which is the name of their son, "is I want you to take the finger point picture with him."
Oh yeah. Just such an intense picture every time. Just the finger point.
Also, shout out to Johnny Gargano. It takes a lot of balls to just, you know, be one of the main guys down there. You know, you're finally up, you're with your contract. You've got probably like $1 million deal waiting for you with whatever company you decide to go to, and you're just like, "I'm going to take some time and be with my family."
Yeah.
And he hasn't been back. We have not seen Johnny wrestling in wrestling.
Family over everything.
Yeah, he mentioned there that he wanted to take a break, you know, his mental health. He wanted to get his body healed a little bit. He wanted to spend time with his son during this important-ass period. And he said he wanted to be there for Candace because he knows, like, having a kid is really difficult. It's even harder when your partner is not there because he is wrestling.
Yeah, that's difficult.
It was also funny because he said, I believe at one point in the locker room, in the interview, he said, like, when Candace was giving birth, it was like, it took a few days because it was just taking so goddamn long. And in that time, they were like watching NXT and AEW and all this other shit. Like, both of them were just watching it because they both love wrestling equally. And it's just like, yeah, these two people were made for each other.
I have two facts about Drake Maverick's career for you.
Go on.
One is, he is a one-time OVW television title holder, and he won the title from Domino.
Jesus
Christ. Of Deuce and Domino fame.
Holy shit.
And he lost to somebody who I don't know, named Randy Royal.
No idea.
So there you go. How many times do you think Drake Maverick won the 24/7 title?
8.
That is exactly correct. Wow.
I felt like, see, 8 is like, I was going to guess 7, but now it's like, nah, I feel like it's more 8. Because 8 just feels like it's not in the double digits, but like 5 would be too little.
Yeah, yeah, because him and Truth traded it quite a few times.
So I just went in the middle of that.
What'd you think going over the career of Spud?
It's a fun career. I mean, I hope he's able to come back and do some more stuff, whether that be on WWE proper. You know what I would really love to see him in? I know he's writing for them, but if he could be in that like backstage role that like Jamie Noble and Joey Murphy are in now, like where they like randomly come down to
get tossed by Brock Lesnar, I can think of no one better.
Yes. Now, the real ideal thing would be if Theory gets his like J&J security crew going, give me a Jamie Noble and Drake Maverick pairing.
I think Drake Maverick would be an excellent mouthpiece. Just let him be somebody's manager. I think he would do so well at that role.
I think I don't know about manager proper. It's like I said, I think like a J&J security type role where like he's like a lackey, but he doesn't he doesn't wrestle. He just kind of flanks and you hear him talk, but he's not cutting promos per se.
Okay. I think in terms of the career of Drake Maverick Rockstar Spud, I said it already. This man's living the dream.
Yeah.
You can cut it however you want. Like, oh, he didn't win a world title. Who gives a shit? He has wrestled in front of millions of people. He was in WWE. Remember, runs in TNA, a like British wrestling legend, married a gorgeous woman, has wrestling as his career. Like, can you beat that? I don't think any of us are beating that.
The guy has made an immense amount of money for what he started as. Like, if you think about what Drake Maverick is, he's 5'4", 5'5", whatever it is, weighs 130 pounds soaking wet. Probably like he's turned a guy in a business that size really, really matters. And he's spun it into a career where he's become wildly successful.
Yeah.
And he's living the life. I mean, he's a guy who was able to live his dream. His dream was to wrestle for WWE. And he did that. You know, he was able to do so many things, throughout his career. Like, yeah, you know, you mentioned the 24/7 stuff, whatever, it's, you know, it's not a lot of stuff, but like, think about how important that probably was for him. You know, think about the Attitude Era. What do you remember most about the Attitude Era? It's never the matches.
No,
it's never, it's the angles. It's fucking Stone Cold getting put up on a cross by the Undertaker. It's Stone Cold getting hit by it's the milk cart. It's the beer car. You know, it's all this other shit that you really, really remember from that era. The 24/7 stuff, I'm not putting it anywhere on the same level, but think about how important that is to a guy like Spud, who probably grew up watching the Attitude Era and thinking, I want to do that stuff. I want to do the funny stuff, because that's what he does. You know, he's an entertainment guy. He's an entertainment first wrestler, and he was able to do entertainment. And you and I have spoken very favorably on that era of the 24/7 title run, because it's the only good era. And that's, you know, a lot of that is a testament to Drake Maverick, the character, because if you think about it, R-Truth is still going after that title still today, and it hasn't been anywhere near as good as it was back then.
It's never been the same. Honestly, when it was the two of them and Carmella, it was amazing.
It was amazing.
It was really good.
You know, you had the jabrons running after it, but at the end of the day, the central figures, it was Captain America and your Iron Man. It was R-Truth and Drake Maverick.
And then we got a little Spider-Man, and that was Reginald.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's it for this week's episode. Next week, it's the big live show. We're going to be on Twitch. That's the plan, at least. August 4th in the evening, we'll be on Twitch talking about Mabel.
Oh,
baby.
I'm very excited.
It's going to be great. One, I'm excited to actually see you, hang out with you. My bachelor party is going to be a good time. It's going to be a hoot. But also, Mabel, live on Twitch. Send us questions, maybe. We'll do a Q&A too. We'll have a good time. Javier, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine, at JMelloSports. Follow me on Twitter. Sauce me some follows. Evan, we're going to be live next week. So how about you sauce the people where they can watch it?
Ooh, that's a good question. Follow us on Twitter, at CrossBodyWork, and that will give you the link to the Twitch, because I don't think we even have a Twitch set up properly.
We can use your Twitch account. That's fine.
We will have a Twitch set up, and we will do the things. That's how we'll do it. Follow me on Twitter, too, at @itsevangomes, @itsevangomes. And it's time for everyone's favorite segment. Javier, any final words for the people?
Life advice with Javier this week is sponsored by absolutely nothing. Slim Jim, we are still waiting for you to give me the Slim Jim money. But no, I mean, the life advice this week, my girlfriend's been sick. the last few days, and that sucked. But it's also like a, you know, friendly reminder for everyone: make sure you get yourself checked. Like, thankfully, she hasn't tested positive for COVID just yet. But we're still living in that times. I know we're roughly 2.5 years deep into this thing, but it's still very important to get checked because there are still, you know, new variants and strains coming out all the time, and it's really, really, really not good. But also a very important thing is, Evan and I, before this podcast, I asked him what I needed to get up to Canada. And a very important thing that popped up is obviously the vaccine stuff. There's like a special arrive can thing that I have to fill out after that we record this to get myself all settled. But a very, very important thing that I want everyone who's planning on traveling to look at: check when your passport expires.
Yes. Yes.
That is a pain in the ass to get done. It takes so long to get back. And if you want to get it expedited, it's still going to take a few weeks and you have to pay a shit ton of money to have that happen.
Yeah.
It's super fucking annoying. Thankfully, mine doesn't expire until like 2027 or some shit like that.
I think that's when mine expires too. So
I don't have to worry about that for a few years, but holy fuck. Go get your passport renewed, get it checked. Even if you don't think you have to get it renewed, just look at it. Just look at it just to make sure. And if it's coming up in the next 6 months, get that process going now because it will probably take like 6 months.
Go and get your passports. Go and get your vaccinations. And go and get ready to hang out with us next week on Twitch. God damn it, we're going to have a great time. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week to cover Mabel. We'll see you then.